You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Welcome to Breakpoint, daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. In the words of British missionary theologian Leslie Newbegin, the calling of Christians is, quote, to live in the kingdom of God in such a way that it provokes questions for which the gospel is the answer. Well, that certainly has implications for the work and the ministry and the mission of the Colson Center. The goal of Breakpoint is to help Christians think carefully about current events, not be thrown off guard by a swirling culture, and be able to have the clarity they need. But the truth is, commentary is really only helpful if it actually helps Christians live out their faith in every walk of life in this cultural moment. So we need biblical and cultural literacy so that our beliefs are orthodox. But we also need to be about orthopraxy, applying the answers of Scripture to the rigors of actual life. The Colson Fellows Program is a tool that is designed to help believers do just that. Over the course of 10 months, Colson Fellows meet in regional cohorts. They read through essential books on Christian worldview and culture. And they do all of this in communities that together imagine the possibilities of what God might do in their time and their place. And so many of the several thousand alumni of the Colson Fellows have stories that are worth highlighting. For example, Drew Johnson. For him, running a recruiting firm meant grappling with the biblical idea of work as a front and center concern of how he can integrate his faith in his daily life. He put it this way, quote, I deal with people and their careers all day in the recruiting industry. And so what he wants to do, as he continued, is, quote, to help clients see they're selling more than just their product and service. They're selling opportunities to work. If you don't recognize the goodness in that work, you can often elevate certain positions above others, kind of demote certain positions depending on how much they get paid or what they're doing every day. But the reality of it is, work is good. And then there's Sarah Took, who's a videographer out of Boone, North Carolina. For her, a powerful takeaway from her time in the Colson Fellows program is this idea of daily faithfulness. Here's how Sarah put it, quote, where before the Colson Fellows program, it might have been easier to step back and not engage something I hadn't previously studied, I now have a framework from which to approach conversation and approach thought. I'm also challenged to engage because I have today. I'm called and created for today, saved for today, and I can be faithful as an agent of redemption today. Brian Eckley, a commercial airline pilot based out of Phoenix, was so impacted by his Colson Fellow cohort discussion about sexuality, he decided to host a series on the topic for his men's small group. As he put it, quote, what I found was that all of them had been impacted deeply by the subject, but did not know, as Christians, how to deal with it. Brian wanted his church to be a place where the truth of Scripture was put into practice that could create an atmosphere where people could combine biblical truth with love and compassion. There's so many more stories of Colson Fellows alumni that I could share. If you're interested in joining a Colson Fellows cohort near you, visit colsonfellows.org. The Colson Fellows program is one of the ministries of the Colson Center. If the Colson Center has helped you gain clarity, confidence, and courage in your life, would you prayerfully consider giving a gift today to help support this work and help others benefit from it as well, supporting products and programs like the Colson Fellows? You can give at breakpoint.org/September. That's breakpoint.org/September. We look forward to hearing how God is using you in this cultural time and place. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Casey Leander. For more resources to live like a Christian in this cultural moment, go to colsoncenter.org.
Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
The world is trying to seduce you and trying to seduce me. And when we make friends with the world, when we have our agenda so much a part of the world, suddenly we recognize we're wrapped up in worldliness and we're an enemy to God. There is a cross pull in the life of those who know God when we become a friend of the world. The Bible says we're to be in the world and not of the world, but so many of us, we know we're in the world, and too many of us are of the world.
The truth is, desires that seduce you away from God never give what they promise. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Cross Pull, where he helps you identify desires that will rob you of the life God wants for you and shares that you can avoid their trap. That proven truth from God's Word is coming up next. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a powerful resource from Dr. Young called Unmasking Evil. This timely sermon series shines a light on the evil and suffering you see around you today and exposes the lies our culture believes that actually wreck people's lives. As you learn from God's Word where evil comes from and how it works, you'll be equipped to stand against evil in your own life and in our culture. We'll send you this 5-message series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request Unmasking Evil when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is winningwalk. That's winningwalk. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Cross Pull.
The words cross pull are not my words. They're the words of a famous newscaster who many years ago was visiting a ranch way out west, a real cattle ranch. And he was there for a few weeks and had the privilege of meeting a young cowboy who was sort of the favorite of all the old hands on the place. He was a bandy-legged little fella. He'd been reared there on the ranch, and everybody loved him. And this newscaster was drawn to him immediately, and they became good friends in just a few days. The little cowboy had gotten a colt and had raised that colt with great care until that colt had grown to a mighty stallion, and all the other cowboys would tease that little fellow about that stallion because the stallion literally followed him around like a dog. And he said, everybody would say, well, that's the only friend you have is your horse. While the news commentator was there, this beautiful stallion stepped in a gopher hole and sort of turned to foot. And they took the stallion and put him out in the pasture to rest his leg. But while in the pasture, a group of wild horses got in, and sure enough, the favorite went out and ran away with them. The newscaster said, you should have seen that young cowboy. You've never seen such a picture of depression in all of your life. He'd lost his horse. But then one day, another guy came in from riding the fence, and he said, I found him. I found him. I found the horse. The young guy said, where is he? I'll go get him. And he said, you can't. It's too late in the afternoon. He's out in a certain pasture, and he's running with a wild herd. And so early the next morning, that young cowboy got up, and the tenderfoot, the news commentator, persuaded him to carry him along just to watch. And they rode to a certain mountain peak and got ready to look into a certain valley. And he said, sure enough, they saw the wild herd, and they saw his favorite right in the middle of them. The young cowboy said, you stay here. The news commentator said he was carefully instructed as to how he was to lie down that rim rock and not make a sound or move in any way. And he said he watched the young cowboys. He did a beautiful job of stalking, getting down close enough to the wild herd where the favorite could hear him, but so he wouldn't spook all of them and they'd run away before he got a chance to call that horse back home. He said he got down in sight, and he stood up, and he saw all the horses lift their heads, their ears, and they stood for a minute. They saw the danger, and they bolted to run away. And he said he couldn't hear from where he was looking down, but he knew that young cowboy was whistling and calling for all he was worth to bring that stallion back to him. He said the wild herd ran away. The news commentator said, I looked down and I could feel the cross pull in that animal. He wanted to run with a wild herd that he had been with, but yet he heard the voice of the master who loved him, who was beckoning him to come to him and to go back home. Cross pull. I think all of us here can identify with that. I dare say there are many people here in this hour, and you could stand today and say, I feel a cross pull in my own life. There's tension, there's pressure, there's strife, there's unrest within my spirit. And we need to be reminded that God created all of us, mind, emotions, and spirit, and these three elements are to work together in harmony. And when one part of you or one part of me is not in harmony with the rest of us, there will be that cross pull. What is it about? It's about my will or God's will. It's about what I want to do and how I want to live my life and how God would want my life to be lived. It's about the aim, the goal, the purpose of your life and my life. Cross pull. And this is what these 10 verses, I believe, in James are all about. They're about this cross pull. Look at them with me. That first verse is so important. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? James asked. Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? In the King James it says, is not the source lust? So we know about the cross pull. We know about the restlessness, about the unrest in our lives. But we have to ask the question, what is the cause? And James gives us here two primary causes. The first one is lustfulness. The American Standard Version says pleasures. We can put them together and say it is a lust for pleasure. Now we know that lust can be good and lust can be bad if you define lust by the word desire. But this question here begs in the Greek a negative answer. It is a negative word in its context. So we're talking about lustfulness. We're talking about lustful pleasures. We're talking about not desire. Desire in and of itself is a good thing, remember? It's one of our instincts to get, to possess. In fact, the first word some of us said was mine. Mine? A child's word. It's an instinctive thing. So desire is not bad, but an evil desire is bad. What is an evil desire? It's desiring something or someone that does not belong to us, or desiring something that will not lead to our best good. An evil desire. So if there is a cross pull in your life today, if there's unrest in your life, if there's undue tension in your life, if there is pressure from within that expresses itself without in quarrels and conflicts and battles, we need to understand in all probability the source is right here. It is lustfulness. A lust for pleasure. How we live in a hedonistic society. We give ourselves for that which makes me look good, that which makes me feel good, that which brings glory to me and power to me or prestige to me. It is money. It is position. It is recreation. We live in this kind of hedonistic world. And this is at cross purposes with the call of God. On one hand, it's my pleasure. On the other hand, it is God's will. And if there's undue tension, if there is unrest in your life, If you identify with that phrase, the cross pull, then you can be sure one cause is lustfulness. Now look what it leads to. There's a progressiveness here. Verse 2, you lust and you do not have. So you commit murder and you are envious and cannot obtain. So you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Now what are we talking about here? There is a desire that I have and I do not have it, and therefore I get upset and I commit murder. You say, I would never commit murder. That's an overstatement. But what does 1 John tell us? It says, if you hate your brother, at heart, you're a murderer. If you have a grudge against someone, if you are vindictive toward someone, if you have an attitude of viciousness toward someone, then in God's sight, you have murder in your heart. Here is this desire, here is this lust. Many times it involves pleasure. You say, well, how in the world can pleasure lead to murder? You see, there is a competitiveness in this society. We want to get ahead, and some ways we get ahead, we step on somebody else. We step on someone else, and we move up. Let me tell you something about doing that in the corporate ladder or in any kind of ladder. Be careful of those you step on the way up, because you're going to meet them on the way down. So many times to get my desire, my goal, what I think I need to satisfy my ego in my life, therefore, I have to misuse someone else. And then what happens? What does it say? There's quarrel, there's conflict. We desire this, we desire this, and we do not get it. And then James tells us why we do not get it. He says it's because we do not ask. Now, the background of this is a positive thing. The Bible tells us that the Heavenly Father knows how to give those gifts that satisfy the deepest longings in your heart and in my heart. He knows how to give us those gifts that satisfy. But as long as we seek these pleasures that do not satisfy, we will go through life with a feeling of unsatisfaction. And we reach and we grasp and we reach this goal and we go over here and finally we discover there's emptiness in and of it all. While God wants to give to you and give to me the best, the things that meet your needs, the things that give you peace, the things that satisfy, He wants you to have His best gifts. I'll tell you, nothing thrills me more as a parent than to give something to one of my children and to see that it's exactly the right thing. And they really like it. And old dad knocked it over the fence. He didn't give something that was in style 25 years ago. Finally, he's up to date. And he gives that right gift. Doesn't that make you feel good as a parent? And the Bible says, how much more the Lord knows how to give to His children those perfect gifts. But you see, the illicit side of this is we conjure up in our dreams, we conjure up in our imaginations, and we plan and we scheme and we have these evil desires that we work and we plan and we imagine and we move from this and we move to that, and then finally the situation comes, there's an explosion and we move away from God, and then we're trapped in our own lustfulness, our desire for pleasure. But the Lord knows what we need. Ye have not these things that satisfy, that will quench that thirst, because you do not ask. Somebody here say, wait a minute, Pastor. I want you to know I've asked for those things, but I did not receive them. I've inquired, but it didn't work out. I've begged and prayed, and I've asked the Lord, but it didn't happen. What about me? James has anticipated the question. Look at the third verse. You ask and do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. In other words, when we go to God and ask for these perfect gifts, these gifts that He will give to you and give to me that will satisfy, may not be that which we are seeking. Because His gifts have to fulfill real need in your life and in my life, and always they have to lead us to glorify Him. So when I pray, I am getting in the middle of His will. In His will is my peace, Dante said, and we've all experienced that truth if we sought to walk with the Lord. So when we pray, we know He recognizes that which is best, that which is good, that which will edify Him and build His kingdom through your life and through my life. And we ask amiss, because sometimes we don't see the long view. We see only right here from our own lustfulness. That's the first problem with cross-pull in your life or in my life. These quarrels, these disputes, these wars that break out, that are within, that express themselves without in all of our interpersonal relationships. But look at the next thing. The next thing is worldliness. Verse 4. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. We need a definition of worldliness. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. Turn right in your Bibles. 1 John 2, 15 and 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. What is worldliness? Worldliness is when you seek to please the world or someone who lives in the world more than you seek to please God. You become worldly and I become worldly when our intimate associates, our friendships, are with people who are casual about God or totally indifferent to God. You get involved, your life bound with people like that, and you are on the first step to worldliness. Now, the word here, adulteresses, has nothing to do with the breaking of the seventh commandment. It is a picture of spiritual infidelity. In the Bible, the marriage relationship is used. Therefore, the church, and we are the church, those who are born again, those who've received Jesus Christ, we are the bride of Christ, and we become adulteresses. The form is feminine. We are unfaithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does this mean? What is this like? It's like a wife who flirts with a man who's trying to seduce her. That's exactly what it's like. And this scripture would say that the husband of that wife is an enemy to the man who was trying to seduce his mate. The world is trying to seduce you and trying to seduce me, and when we make friends with the world, when we have our agenda so much a part of the world, suddenly we recognize we're wrapped up in worldliness and we're an enemy to God. Now, this is a word to Christians. It's not to pagans. It's a word to those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, those who name the name. But suddenly there is a cross pull in the life of those who know God when we become a friend of the world. The Bible says we're to be in the world and not of the world. But so many of us, we know we're in the world, and too many of us are of the world. That's our primary agenda. And therefore there's that cross pull. It's inevitable. It has to be. that tension between my way and God's way. Between the call of the wild herd with which we have run and the whistle and the beckoning words of our master who loves us. That's the cross pull we feel. The cause of the cross pull. Lustfulness. Seeking after lustful pleasures that do not satisfy. Second cause, worldliness. But what's the cure? What's the answer? The next verses. Look at it. Back in James. Look at verse 5, which is a transitional verse. Or do you think the scripture speaks to no purpose?
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the water of life, everlasting life, without cost, come. What is the requirement mentioned here? Do you have to be intelligent? Do you have to come with a good family or dress in a certain way? No. To be saved, you have to be thirsty. Isaiah said, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Jesus told the woman at the well that he would give her water to drink that would keep her from ever thirsting again. So, that is where life, true life, abundant life begins. Thirst. Are you thirsty? That is all that is required, because the Holy Spirit creates that hunger and thirst for a new life and for a righteous living. The invitation simply says, come on in if you're thirsty, and I will give you water, living water, changing water, healing water, the water of life now and life forever. What a beautiful invitation. A fabulous invitation offered in this world with out-of-the-world permanence.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful series by Dr. Young. It's called Unmasking Evil, and he created it to help you face the evil in our culture in a uniquely Christian way by resting in the assurance of God's love for you and the ultimate defeat of evil through the cross. This 5-message series is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Unmasking Evil when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for joining us today. Come back tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Young's message, Cross Pull, as he shares the steps you can take to bring your heart back to the things of God.
You are listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Cocoa, 99.9 FM.
There's chaos in the world, and you're supposed to be kingdom Christian, casting a kingdom vote.
Dr. Tony Evans says our laws need to protect both the existence of life and the dignity of life.
It is time for kingdom voters to take a stand for life. Get up out of your chair and go vote.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Many of the choices we'll make in the upcoming election will affect how people live, but Dr. Evans says some decisions will determine whether people live. Today, he takes a look at issues that transcend political perspectives and party affiliations. Let's join him.
We're talking about kingdom voting. We're talking about the partnership that Christians have been allowed, encouraged, and are responsible to join God in with regard to expanding his rule in society through civil government. Civil government is the role of the established government to reflect God by maintaining safe, justice, righteous, and compassionately responsible environment for freedom to flourish. And at the core of what the government is supposed to be about is the safety and well-being of its citizens. We saw that that's why the government does not bear the sword in vain. To get rid of evil, to promote good, so that freedom can flourish. And so when we talk about voting, we have to deal with the issue of life. Because since that is the role of government, to protect life, then when you consider your vote, you have to raise the question about what is life, since that is its divinely ordained responsibility. Now, most discussions about the issue of life do not start at the right place. That's because they unfortunately not enough start with Scripture. God is the creator of life, therefore we start with God. When God created mankind in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, he said, "Let us create man in our own image." So discussion of life in any human form it finds itself starts with the imago Dei, that is, the image of God. When you don't start with the image of God, then you make life what you call it to be, not what God has created it and stamped it to be. The psalmist says in Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 to 6, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and you have crowned him with majesty?" Human beings are majestic in the created genius of Almighty God. It's not just another form of a general creation. It is a spectacular masterpiece in the hand of God. And what makes man spectacular, or as the psalmist says, majestic, full of splendor, is that mankind, it says, male and female, has the mark of God stamped on them by their creator, the imago Dei, the image of God. This means that every human being has a divine design. This means that every human being is sacred because they have the stamp of God on them. That means every person created was created for community, since God is a triune being, one God composed of three co-equal persons, who's one in essence while distinct in personality. So we were created for one another. It means that every person matters. It's significant from womb to tomb. The government is to protect life, and it is to protect it because it wants God on its side. But leave God out, and then it's my body, it's how I feel, it's what I think, it's... And then we want to talk about saving the life in the womb, but oftentimes disregarding it to the tomb. There are not only to be laws to protect the existence of life, there also must be laws to protect the dignity of life. American slavery was a loss of dignity. Criminal leasing was a loss of dignity. Jim Crow was a loss of dignity. Racism in any form is a loss of dignity. Whether it's individual or familial or structural, it is canceling out the dignity. It is removing the crown that exists on every man and every woman born into the world. Putting your knee on the neck of a helpless victim is not only to destroy their life, it is to attack their dignity. That's why the Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 9, how dare you reduce the dignity by cursing, not cussing, cursing. That is removing the dignity of a person, he says in James 3, 9, because they've been created in the likeness of God. When we allow the poor to have worse education than others because they don't have the same dollar bill, when we don't care about the health, well-being of people who do not have access to adequate health care, when we reduce their dignity, we have attacked God. And when we reduce it by law or by practice, then that's called post-life abortion, because you are aborting either the length of their existence or the well-being of their existence. So it just depends on which abortion you're talking about, because all of it is to reflect God. When appraisers go into appraisal districts and underbid it so that they can have gentrification rushed in and people not given the value of their property, you've lowered their dignity. And when that is allowed, either formally or informally, when it is not rejected and rebelled against, then we have become, even as Christians, co-conspirators to oppressive regimes which the government has been given to address. Psalm 89:14, God says, from my throne comes righteousness and justice. You can't have one without the other. These are twin towers. They operate simultaneously. We got one group calling for righteousness. We got another group calling for justice, as though God can be divided. He says, from my throne, you got to deal with both. So don't just talk to me about moral laws. Talk to me about it, but don't put a period there. Talk to me also about the just application of the law without discrimination. There's abortion in the womb, but there's abortion on your way to the tomb, so that people don't get to live out their divinely ordained destiny. On a piano, keyboard, got black and white keys. Guess what? All of them make a sound and all of them are equal, because they all were created to make their unique sound. There's no baby in the womb or baby born from the womb who does not have the stamp of God, and the whole system should be designed to enhance their ability to reach their divinely ordained destiny, and that ought to be led by Christians. It ought to be led by the church. Yes, we should protest abortion in the womb, but that same number of people or more ought to righteously and peacefully protest abortion outside of the womb. Okay, I got two bills here. This $1 bill has George Washington's picture on it, worth a dollar. I got a $100 bill here. I got Ben Franklin on here, $100. Now, they look the same. Same color, same words, in God we trust. You know, the United States of America's on here. You know the difference between these two bills? The image. I got one with George Washington. I got one with Franklin. And that image changes its value. When I look at this one, I know it's got higher value because of the image that's stamped on it. Now, let's go a little further. I'm going to wrinkle up this $100 bill. This $100 bill is now wrinkled. It's not smooth like I started with, but you know what? It's still worth $100. You know why it's worth $100? Because I still got the image. See, some people's lives have been crumpled up by their sin or their circumstances, coupled up by the evil of other people or the evil of other systems. But what they need to know, because they have the stamp of God on them, they still have divine value. And even though we must condemn wrong being done, we should never remove their human dignity while we condemn the wrong. Let's go one step further. I'm going to throw the dollar bill, the $100 bill down, and I'm going to step on it. What I'm doing now is I'm oppressing it. I'm oppressing it because I'm stepping on it. I'm putting my weight on it. And now I'm treating it like it's nothing because it's under my foot. And I'm reducing it to nothing. It's flat. Oh. But when I pick it up, lo and behold, I got the same image. I still got Franklin. You know what that means? I still get to spend $100 because of the image. A lot of people in our world now have been crumpled up by sin, circumstances, oppression. But what we need to do is remind them of the image that's been put on their lives. They've been stamped by God.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment as he continues our look at the significance God has conveyed upon life. But first, much of the realm of modern-day politics has become vastly polarized and polluted with anger, hate, dissension, and violence. Friends, families, and even churches are being divided as people insist only their perspective or party has the answers. Well, Dr. Evans says disagreements are one thing, but disunity is another. He talks about the difference in his brand new book, Kingdom Politics. It explores ways we can defend our positions with compassion and grace, treating those who disagree with us with kindness and respect. At the same time, it spells out biblical principles that will help us make godly decisions on election day. We're convinced that every believer should read this book before going to the polls, so we're making it available as our gift when you make a donation toward Tony's ministry. Along with it, we'll send you the full-length versions on CD or digital MP3s of all 10 lessons in his current series, Returning God to Government. This is a limited-time double offer, so request it right away before time runs out. You can do that online at tonyevans.org, where you can also browse through our huge collection of audio, video, and print resources. Or call our 24-hour resource center at 1-800-800-3222. And get some in-person help from one of our team members. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat all that information for you later on after part two of today's lesson and this.
It is easy to forget what this is supposed to be all about.
It's time to level up as a pastor. The 2022 Kingdom Agenda Pastor Summit is also a virtual event, so you can experience the Word wherever you are.
If you become a regular abider in the Scriptures, you're going to show yourself to be a real disciple.
On October 4th through the 7th, connect with like-minded pastors and share in the power of the Kingdom Agenda.
You need some people that'll be in your life that'll tell you that you're tripping and that you need to get back on the narrow path.
Engage with some of the greatest preachers of our time, like Dr. Charlie Dates, Dr. Joel Gregory, and Dr. Tony Evans.
God will empower your actions. He will not replace your actions.
Are you ready to make an impact? Sign up at cap2022.com. That's K-A-P-2022.com.
We can't fake it and make it in front of the world.
Sponsored by the Urban Alternative.
This thing of life is so important that God says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22, if you call somebody by a hateful name, you call them, their life is not worth living, which is what the word fool means in that context. Your life is worthless. He says, watch this, you're in the jeopardy of hell's fire. Oh, no, you didn't. He says, I will send you to hell. That's what Jesus said. For reducing a person's humanity. So what do? You're going to be a kingdom voter. That means you have to vote for life. And life starts at conception because Jesus was conceived as a child and it goes to death. But between the two should be dignity. Between the two should be protection so that they can maximize their freedom. Now, they may not do anything with their dignity. They may not do anything with their lifespan, but that shouldn't be because you set up structures, systems, attitudes, or perspectives that got in the way. It should be because they chose to eat the fruit, not because you forced fruit down their throat. It is time for Christians to adopt a whole life agenda and vote for government to protect a whole life agenda. And if your government party only is going to protect one side of it, then you hold them accountable and responsible to not ignore the other side of it. It is time for kingdom voters who will take their stand as best they can based on their conscience to take a stand for life. And yes, there are other issues. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about family. We're going to talk about character. We're going to talk about economics, because all of those fit into the platforms of the party. But I want you to think kingdom, which means you don't pick sides when it comes to life. You pick all of life and the dignity of life as you prepare to vote. I think of the book of Esther. It's a unique book, because God's name is nowhere to be found in the book. It is the only book in the Bible where you can't locate God's name. Now, his fingerprints are everywhere, but he never identifies himself directly, and that's the only place in the Bible. Genocide is getting ready to take place. There's a bad dude named Haman, and he wants to get rid of all the Jews. He wants to destroy not only them, but their future. Because that's what abortion does. It destroys you and your future. It wants to ruin your life and not give you the freedom to birth future lives. Mordecai comes to Esther, who's been placed in an opportunity to vote. Mordecai says, "Esther, time to cast your ballot. I want you to go into the king and let him know what's going on. Cast your vote, girl. You've been given the opportunity and the freedom in Persia to cast your vote, and I want you to vote." But Esther said, I don't think I can vote. I don't think I can cast my ballot because I'm not sure which way this is going to go," Esther says. He says, I could be voting the wrong way, because if I vote wrong, it's going to cost me a lot. So I'd rather stay home and not vote than to go out and vote, because I'm not sure which way this election is going to go if I vote." Mordecai sent back a message to Esther. And guess what he told her? He said, "Sister girl," he didn't say sister girl, but you get me. He says, "You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this." Oh, I like that, because you know that fits right into the kingdom agenda. "You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this." This is not a time to stay home. This is not a time, because you don't know which way it's going to go, not to vote. No, you go cast your vote. And if you don't do it, God will find somebody else. But don't use your convenience or inconvenience as an excuse not to exercise your opportunity and responsibility. So I say to all the Christians who say, "I want to stay home, because I don't know which way it's going to go. I don't know which one God is going to elect." Remember, kingdom voting is a partnership. God's going to make the final decision, but he still wants your participation. So you don't get to stay home. You get to evaluate the candidates. You get to say which reflects the best view that you can come up with by the leading of God. You've been called to the kingdom. There's chaos in our culture. There's chaos in the world. And you're supposed to be a kingdom Christian and a kingdom disciple casting a kingdom vote. Well, let's be a kingdom voter. Get up out of your chair and go vote. You do the best you can and leave the rest to God. Mordecai said, "This is not a time to stay home. You've been called to the kingdom for such a time as this." So don't go vote as a Democrat, and don't go vote as a Republican, and don't go vote as a Libertarian. Go vote as a kingdom citizen, a representative of the kingdom of God. And to those of you who are under the sound of my voice, where your dignity has been removed, where it was removed by your mother or your father, whether it was removed by another race, whether it was removed by an unjust legal system, or whatever it was that removed your dignity, I have good news for you. Jesus Christ was in a system of infanticide, because they were killing babies 2 years and under when he was born, and they were trying to kill him. Jesus knows what it is to be a homeless person. For the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus knows what it's like to be unjustly accused. He knows what it's like for a mob to riot and seek to destroy his life. He knows what it is to receive an unjust death sentence. But I got good news, because the good news of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 is Jesus Christ is available today to conform you to his image. Yeah, that's right. You know, he can change your image, your self-image, your image of other people. He can turn a racist into a non-racist. He can turn prejudice into acceptance. He can remove discrimination. He can give you dignity that you don't have to bend over and have other people ride your back. He can give you significance. And for the lady who's had the abortion, he can forgive you. He can let you begin again because you're still in his image. So the beautiful thing about coming to Christ is that he can take whatever is messed up, and he is the fixer-upper. So I invite you now, if you've never come to Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never recognized he died on the cross for you, in your place for your sins, he rose from the dead to give you eternal life, and that if you will simply trust him alone as your sin bearer, if you'll go to him right now, and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I recognize you want to be my Savior, and I trust you now to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin and give me the eternal life that you promised to give if I came to you for it. I receive it now by faith. He will forgive your past, no matter how bad that past is, and he'll restore your image, because that's why you were created. We're going to believe God is going to transform your life and mine as we continue following him to the destiny he created us to achieve. God bless you.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.
You are listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Pompeii, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Cocoa, 99.9 FM.
The explosive eruption of Mount St. Helens in 1980 could have killed many more people than it did. See why so many lives were spared on today's Creation Moment. And now our Creation Moment's host, Paul Taylor.
Coldwater Lake in Washington State looks so pretty nestled between the mountains. This scene of tranquility is very popular among the fishing community. A better view of Coldwater Lake can be had by climbing the steep trail up to Coldwater Ridge. As you reach the top, you look back at the magnificent views of Mount St. Helens with its gaping crater, forever marred by having lost such a large proportion of itself in the violent eruption of May 1980. In the other direction, you see the lake, which did not even exist before the eruption. The devastation caused by the volcano blocked Coldwater Creek so that the valley filled with water. So you keep walking along the ridge and you espy a different sort of devastation. Huge pieces of rusting machinery can be seen. The machinery was there to aid with logging processes because this ridge used to be covered with forest before the eruption. The blast from the volcano had a speed of up to 350 miles per hour as it hit the ridge, knocking down the trees and sending the logging machinery into a spin so that it landed in its current position. If the eruption had occurred on the Monday or the Saturday, one can imagine that this machinery would have been operated by many loggers, causing far more deaths than actually occurred on that Sunday morning. Out of that violence has come the tranquility of the lake scenery. Just as out of the violence of the worldwide flood, God brought a message of hope and mercy to a world reborn.
Creation Moments is a listener-supported broadcast. To find out how you can become a part of the work we are doing, visit us at creationmoments.com or call 1-800-42-BIBLE.
Purees are an often overlooked commodity in cooking, but offer a wide variety of uses. Hi, I'm Pam Smith with a tip for living well. Simply put, purees are a blended sauce or thickener made of anything you want them to be. You can puree vegetables, fruit, or even use grains as a base. Vegetable purees added to sauces and side dishes can be a clever way of coaxing finicky eaters to try a dreaded vegetable. Cook them, throw them in a blender, add some chicken stock and puree. You've just made a great sauce for grilled meat. Try blending several types of fruits together, puree, then spoon onto frozen yogurt for a refreshing dessert. The next time you need a quick and easy sauce or a base for your favorite dish, don't forget the practical puree.
For more of Pam's tips for living well and recipes for delicious wellness, visit her website at pamsmith.com. That's pamsmith.com.